Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Hey Every Nation Brisbane family, and for everyone tuning in today, I am Jess and I'm here to read today's scripture. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 to 14.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who were God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
We will now look at the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 15.
All who are guided by the Spirit of God are sons of God. By what you received was not the spirit of slavery to bring you back into fear. You received the spirit of adoption, enabling us to cry out, Abba, Father.
May God bless the reading of his word. And now let's prepare our hearts for what God has for us today.
This is actually the last message in our series called The Antidote. And we'll be starting a new series. Actually, I'm really excited. Guys. Next week, we're starting a new series going through the book of Jude. And we'll be dissecting that book. I think if there was ever a book that was really pertinent to what, I mean, the whole Bible is pertinent to what we're dealing with. But Jude, it's only one chapter long. So yeah, even I can read it. go ahead. If you want to prepare for next week, we'll be spending a few weeks in the book of Jude. So we're really excited about that. Today, I actually wanted to, in the finality of this sermon series that we're going through, so we've been talking about how the cross of Jesus Christ is the antidote for the world. We want to look at this gospel of adoption. And the title of my message today is Agent of Adoption, the King and His Offspring. I wanted to read this verse from Romans chapter 8 that Jess just read. Thank you, Jess, for reading that scripture for us. Romans chapter 8 says in verse 15, all who are guided by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Anybody out there guided by the Spirit of God this morning? Listen, all who are guided by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For what you received was not the spirit of slavery to bring you back into fear. You received the spirit of adoption, enabling us to cry out, Abba, Father. That we have the opportunity to call him Abba Father if we accept that we have been adopted by the Spirit of God into fatherhood through the Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? This morning, I want you to catch this, because a lot of what I'm going to be talking about today is the fact that you have been adopted into the family of Jesus Christ through the love of the Father. Now, in this verse, we see a separation of understanding a spirit of slavery versus a spirit of adoption or spirit of sonship. There is a difference. Now, you may say that, okay, Pastor Nelly, aren't both good? Like, isn't it good to be a servant who serves and a son who serves? The difference is in the posture of servitude. You serve differently and you live differently when you're a son versus a sermon. Now, I understand, okay, some of you mothers are saying, okay, well, it's Mother's Day. Why are you talking about sons for? You know, why are you talking about men for? I want to reassure you, okay? As a man, I am a part of the bride of Christ. Don't get it twisted. I know Last Dance has been going on and you see Dennis Rodman dressing up in bride's dresses. We're not trying to get it twisted here, okay? It's allegorical. So when we talk about sons of God, we're talking about sons and daughters of the living God. But what I'm trying to get at is there's a posture of servitude that's different from when you serve as a son versus serving as a servant. Both are good, but there's levels to this, as they say in hip hop. There's levels to this, right? Now let's look at some of these differences. See, sons serve as inheritors and servants serve for recognition. What do I mean by this? Servants serve in order that one day they may have the platform, whereas sons understand, you know what, I've inherited this. This is a part of my inheritance. And so therefore there's a posture, and we'll get to this in a moment, of ownership. I remember visiting a restaurant. I happened to be in the United States and visited this restaurant, of which got to meet the owner of the restaurant. And there were two guys that were cleaning the windows. And as they were cleaning the windows, you saw one guy who was furiously trying to clean the windows with the sponge and just getting water all on himself, just trying to clean it with so much effort. And there was another dude who was kind of like, you know, really lackadaisical about it, just kind of cleaning it with one hand and then kind of looking at his phone with the other, then taking his time. And so I made the comment to the waiter, hey, I'm noticing the difference of posture or the way that these guys are cleaning the windows. And what was funny was the waiter said, oh yeah, the guy that's cleaning it furiously, it happens to be the son of the owner of the restaurant. So it's different when you own it. It's different when it's yours. You take care of things differently when they're yours. How many of you have noticed that, right? Like when you borrow something, like it's a pet peeve of mine. can I share with you? We're family, right? Can I share with you? Like when people borrow my stuff, like say they might borrow your car to can I borrow your car because we've got visitors coming? And then they bring it back. It's not washed. You know, there's no gas in the car. It's empty. There's a difference in posture. Let's just leave it at that. I don't want to stir up any anger on Facebook this morning. Secondly, okay, what's different about the way that sons serve is that they serve people, again, rather than servants who serve for platform. Sons serve the people, whereas servants serve for the platform. I love this quote here. This quote is from Martin Gurry, who wrote this great book in 2011 called The Revolt of the Public. And then it was reissued again in last year, I believe, with everything that's happened in the United States. And so he's not a Christian man, but he makes really good observations with regards to where the world is at with the advent of social media. And so he says this, elites, and he's speaking of those who are at the top of their power, and how things have changed and transformed through society, where it's more of a popularity game. Elites currently seem to be concerned more with reestablishing their distance from the public than with reforming the system or restoring their own authority. They equate legitimacy with clinging to the top of the pyramid. They find proximity to the public frightening and distasteful. No elite figure wants to come near the deplorables. They prefer to hide behind bodyguards and metal detecting machines. Somewhat reluctantly, I have come to the conclusion that authority will not be restored to our democratic institutions until the current elite class, what I have called the industrial elites, is replaced. What Martin Gurry is getting at here is that we've seen a shift in culture. What this generation is looking for is a shortening of the distance and authenticity. Sons serve in a place of authenticity, walking alongside those who are broken. Now, does that mean that that's the only way to serve? No, because the point may be, right, there's a difference in the new model of elitism where you can actually easily use that authenticity to become your own elite. your own model of elite. So you've got political members who politicians who would use the tool of Instagram or Facebook or whatever to build up a platform for themselves with a measured kind of authenticity. But what ends up happening is that even that can be curated, even that can be polished. I woke up like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, hashtag, I woke up like this. You didn't really wake up like this. Because the moment that people have a camera in front of their face, how many of you have noticed, like, when you take a group picture, the first person that you look at in that picture is you, because you're trying to look at how you look. So you're living that authentic life when the cameras are off. But the moment the camera is on, it's like, okay, I move straight into servant mode rather than son mode, which doesn't care about who's watching, because I'm more interested in connecting with people. And this is the model that Jesus invites us into. It's servants, you know, just kind of understand, oh, well, it's going to be mine. So just it's all about building my platform. Thirdly, sons take ownership. Sons take ownership. Servants serve with their own agenda. Let me read that one more time. Sons take ownership and servants serve with their own agenda. So you're always questioning, okay, are they trying to usurp that authority? Are they trying to take over? I know none of you, you know, experienced that, but maybe you've experienced it amongst other people. But sons take ownership through thick and thin. You know, the sorts of people that say, I'm with you to the end. Not the sorts of people that say, I'm with you to the end, and this is the end. Right? Lastly, and this is, well, I'm going to break this one down a little bit more, because we have a dog. I said it, Tina. There's your Mother's Day. I admitted to owning a dog. Okay? Usually I say it's your dog, especially when it leaves little Mother's Day gifts all over the lawn. It's your dog. But we have a dog named Redemption. And our dog, when the dog came to us, had huge feet, but the dog was small. But you could see the potential in the dog's feet of how big it's going to grow. Now, the dog is eating up a lot of our budget, but, you know, praise be to God. And this is the attitude of sons. Sons have puppy feet, meaning that you can see the potential of their growth for the future, whereas servants come in fully grown. Servants don't come to be added to, they've come to add to you. You get what I'm saying? Like, they come in like fully grown. Have you ever experienced this, when you're around certain people and they come alongside you and then they can't be taught? That teachability is not there. And the moment you make a little comment on, okay, this might be off, they get offended and run away, because servants have that posture of not being able to be taught or being teachable. So this is what God is after in all of us. He's after sons and the posture of sonship over servanthood. Now, last Tuesday, and I highly encourage you, you can actually check out on this Facebook feed, there was a conversation that I had with two very dear friends of mine, John and Krina Hansen, on Real Talk. For those of you who don't know, this week and every week, on Tuesday and Thursday, I have conversations with world changers around the world who are doing great things for the kingdom of God. And so earlier this week, I met with John and Krina, and you can check it out, because they talked about Rohe Foundation, which is an organization that specializes in adoption, especially of adoption of those who are victims of human trafficking and so forth. So adoption in that sense. And I loved one of the things that John said. Jonathan was saying that how you see adoption will determine how you see the gospel. Let me say that one more time so you catch it. How you see adoption will determine how you see the gospel. There is a tendency, I don't know about you, but if you grew up in a certain culture, right, the view of adoption can be in some cultures where the adopted child is somewhat subservient to the child that is born biologically. I'll say that again, just reword it a little bit so you catch what I'm saying. In some cultures, adoption is either frowned upon, or when it's committed to, the child that is adopted is looked at as subservient to the children that are born biologically into that family. The biological children are more privileged than those who are adopted into the family. So if that's your view, that's going to affect the way you see the gospel. So when I say that you've been adopted into the family of God, you can somehow see yourself subservient to what Jesus actually invites us into. Now remember, we just read, and Jess just read from Paul's writing, and Paul writes during the time of the Roman Empire. Alamedian, Aletheia.org writes about what Roman adoption looks like. Roman adoption looks like this, guys. That the child was freely chosen by the parents. Freely chosen and desired by the parents. That child would be a permanent part of the family. Parents couldn't disown a child they adopted. So this is what it's like in Roman society. An adopted child received a new identity. Any prior commitments or responsibilities and debts are erased. New rights and responsibilities were taken on. Also, in ancient Rome, the concept of inheritance was part of life, not something that began at death. Being adopted made someone an heir to the father, joint sharers in all his possessions, and fully united to him. One of the best pictures, okay? It actually did win Best Picture at the Academy Awards. One of the best pictures of what Roman adoption can look like, it's a pretty sordid picture, actually, is from the movie Gladiator. I'm sorry, I know this is Mother's Day, and this is not necessarily a Mother's Day movie. And for the children, this is not a recommended movie for you either. But there was this movie that men like to watch. But this is Russell Crowe. Many think he's Australian. He's actually a New Zealander, born and raised in New Zealand. So let's get that right first. I don't want to start a fight on Facebook. But Gladiator, right, is this movie about Maximus. His name is Maximus. And so he's basically an orphan because his parents were killed. And so he fights as a warrior. And what ends up happening is the emperor at the time, Marcus Aurelius, actually looks upon Russell Crowe's character of Maximus as more of a son than this guy. You may know him. This is Commodus, okay, who's his actual son. And because Commodus is not necessarily as much of a warrior, he's a fighter, but he's not necessarily much of a warrior. What Commodus is known for is usurping authority. And so the whole movie is this tension between Marcus Aurelius. I won't spoil it for those who want to watch it or bear with it. It's quite a long movie. The tension is between he who was considered like a son, who was Maximus, and he who was a biological son but didn't act like a son because he tried to usurp the authority of Marcus Aurelius. And so there's actually a line, and this line is actually said in this part of the movie where the great Richard Harris, the great actor, looks into the eyes of Russell Crowe and says, "You are the son that I never had," only to see this guy in the background hearing that. And he dismissed this guy as his son. That's the level of Roman adoption that we're talking about in this case, where when you're adopted, you are considered that close. Now, am I trying to say, look, if you adopt someone, abandon your biological children? No, not at all. Okay, so hear me closely. What I'm trying to get at is this is the value of adoption that we see in Roman society. It's actually to that point. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix was so hurt by that, he went and filmed Joker, and we all know what happened with that. So just keep that in mind. Now, going back to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, as children of God that have been adopted by our great Father God, this is the posture we take now. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. That's right. If you're adopted, you have been blessed in the heavenly realms with what? With everybody say every spiritual blessing in Christ. If that doesn't give you a reason to take your slipper off and throw it in the air like you graduated to, then I think there's something in your coffee. There is an inheritance of every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So he is the one who makes us holy. We all know that. This is the gospel. We are not holy and we are not blameless, but by the blood of Jesus. Okay? And we're going to prepare to take communion in just a moment. So prepare for that, because we're going to celebrate this. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of our glorious, of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. Turn to somebody and tell them, God loves you. God is a father who loves you, who's predestined you to be one who is redeemed. It's predestination that you're watching this stream right now and hearing this. This is the message of the gospel. We don't deserve it. We're sinners who have all fallen short of the glory of God, but the Father still loves us, still desires to adopt us, still desires to bring us into a place of right standing because of his son Jesus. We get to be adopted by him. Isn't that awesome? Wow. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished them on us. This isn't a little sprinkling. This is a lavishing. He pours out his love on us in accordance with the riches of God's grace. I don't know if you didn't know this, right? That God has more money stuck between the cushions of his couch in heaven than there are in the universe. Like, that's the sort of riches that God wants. And again, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about the level of fulfillment that God wants to bring your way. No matter what you go through, he lavishes the riches of God's grace upon you with all wisdom and understanding. He has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. I need you to know this, okay? Look at me in the eye, okay? I need you to see this and know this. God takes good pleasure and you. It wasn't arduous for him to like, his whole desire, the whole design of humankind is for this relationship, for this oneness with God. He takes good pleasure with you. He has purposed this in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth and under Christ. Look, the children of God are forgiven, they're loved, they're redeemed, and they bring pleasure to the Father. You bring pleasure to him. You are loved. You are completely forgiven. And this is the tactic of the enemy. In moments like this, he'll try to turn up that voice that says, you aren't forgiven. You're not forgiven. Kind of sounds like that. You're not forgiven. You're not loved. God doesn't love you. You're not redeemed. You don't bring God pleasure. Like the song says, right? He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Psalm says that as far as your east is, the east is from the west, he has removed your transgression, your sin from you. You are loved. He loves you with an insatiable, unquenchable love. You are redeemed. He has paid the price in order that you may be made righteous. Jesus Christ became the atonement for our sins. The price has been paid. And you bring pleasure to him. So much pleasure that despite the circle of events, the cycle that we see in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and even here in 2020 of God loves us and we are in right relationship with him. But through time, we sin, we fall short, we walk away from our relationship with him. We end up worshiping the blessing rather than the blesser. And then what ends up happening is there's a bearing of the fruit of those decisions that we made. And in other words, the consequences that we face. And because we face those consequences, here we are repenting, God, save us. And then God does. He loves us. He saves us. He's like, I don't know about you, how many chances you'd give somebody who does something wrong to you. But God, in his infinite wisdom and his infinite love, still declares, my children are forgiven. My children are loved. My children are redeemed. My children bring pleasure to me. It's the mark of the children of God. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, that's you indeed, that's you as well, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Oh, we live for that, God. We live for that right now. We live and we fulfill our purpose in seeing your glorification in our lives. And that's where we come back to this passage here. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. What God is talking about here is that his mark is on us. The imperishable is ours. We live out in our eternity. His mark is on us because the Holy Spirit is in us. That's our inheritance. And now we can say, like Romans 8:15 says, Abba, Father. We can call him Daddy. We can call him Father because his mark is on us. One of my favorite movies of all time. I know I'm talking a lot about movies today. Some of you are looking at me like, does Pastor Nelly actually read his Bible? I just did, all right? Don't judge me. But one of my favorite movies of all time. I'm a massive Pixar fan. I'd say of the top 20 movies that I love, I think like two or three of them are by Pixar. And one of them is Toy Story. It's Toy Story is about these toys that come alive. For those of you like, the one person who hasn't seen any of the four Toy Story movies, the toys come alive when nobody's in the room, and one of the main characters in the movie series is Woody. Woody is a cowboy doll, and one of the ways that he knows whose he is that on his feet is written Andy. Andy is the owner of Woody. In our situation, God puts his mark on us, and that's the Holy Spirit in us. I need you to understand this. The way that you know you're a child of God is that you submit your life under his lordship, which means that he rules every aspect of our lives, and then the Holy Spirit lives in us, brings life to us. You're alive in him. And so it's the Holy Spirit that is the mark that God wants to put on you, much like this Woody who has on his feet God. God wants to mark your life with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So here we go. We're going to, and I want you to take this opportunity to respond. We have a time of discussion and reflection today, and I'm going to pray for you as well. I believe there's some of you who are watching this, and we're so glad you've joined us, but you recognize, you know what? I haven't accepted the adoption of God the Father towards me as his son, as his daughter. Well, today's that day. Today's the day that you can make that decision to follow Jesus and embrace the adoption that he invites us into. You are not, and again, depending on your cultural view, I hope that your mind shift has changed. In fact, that's part of the discussion reflection that we have here today. After hearing this, after hearing about the Roman view of adoption, and then hearing the context of which these scriptures are written, do you consider yourself a child of God, a servant of God, or not relating to God at all? If you're a child of God, how was this reflected in your everyday life with him? Again, you can put the answers in or your answers in the chat as well. If you're a servant of God, would you like to ask him for his grace to help change the posture of your heart today? And if you don't have a relationship with God, would you like to start a relationship with him today? I want to pray for those of you who would like to start that relationship with God today, to embrace his adoption. Like I was saying before, it's predestined that you're joining us for this broadcast today. It's totally what God has designed and predestined for you to hear this. This is the message of the gospel, that God has created us for relationship, but we have fallen away from that relationship, and now God invites us back by his grace through Jesus Christ, who became that sacrifice for us, so that we can now be made righteous and enter into that relationship with him. That's what he's inviting you into. So I want to pray for those of you who are watching this today and would like to experience that adoption. Join me today as we pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for those who are watching this. Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is present in each home, in each venue of which people are engaging with this. But Lord, today we thank you, God, that you're inviting us, that you've adopted us. Firstly, I pray, God, that for those of us who are children, who are sons of God and daughters of God, Lord, may that be reflected in our attitudes. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have kind of walked away from this attitude, Lord God, taking on board more of a posture of somebody who's trying to build our own platform rather than build the kingdom of God. But Father, I want to pray for those specifically who are listening to this or watching this and desire to hand their lives over to God. If that's you today, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today in recognition that I am a sinner, that I have fallen short of your glory. And so, God, it's today that by your grace, I've heard this message, this good news, and my desire is to hand my whole life over to you. Take it all. I receive your forgiveness. I thank you that you adopt me and call me your own. And so, Lord, on this Mother's Day, 2020, this is the day that I am born again, born into the family of Jesus, because my life is no longer my own, but it's yours today. Thank you for your love for me, and that I'm marked by the Holy Spirit. And I ask that your Holy Spirit guide me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.